Good morning. Welcome to the fellowship here again this morning as we've taken time to join our voices together in song. And I trust that you truly meant it, that the context of the songs was that Jesus or God is our all. He's our vision. He's the gem. He's the one that we should be seeking after. And I trust this morning that as you sang those words, it was more than just singing words, but it was a commitment from your heart. It is a new day, and definitely not going to ignore the fact that we have just entered into a new year, the year of 2022. And so, you know, my mind wanders. And I was sitting there yesterday as I was looking over the sermon and thinking about what I'm going to share, and just wondered, what does the year hold? And we can all sit here and we can ask that question. And you know, there's the truth of the matter is we don't know, but we do know who holds this year. Amen. You know, the last number of days, it's been cloudy. It's been a little dreary. And, you know, after a while, you start to feel that. But you know that above the clouds, the sun is still shining. And you know that above the cloud of COVID, the sun, Jesus Christ, is still on the throne. Amen. He's still there. He's still on the throne. Hasn't changed. Let's get above the cloud, okay? Let's live above the cloud. And I believe it's a challenge that to all of us that we recognize in our lives that we at times don't do real well at just staying above the cloud. And so I'm just calling us today to, it's a good time. It's a good time of the year to look back and but not with regret, but look back and what could change, what could be better in the coming year, and look forward and keep pressing forward and don't look back. So that sounds a little confusing, right? Look back to learn, but don't look back and keep your mind focused back. Keep pressing forward. And Paul has a scripture. And if you guys could get the image up here to give an idea. I titled the message this morning, Choosing Kindness for 2022. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, I'm going to get into that, but I'm going to go on a bunny trail first. But let me just start out by saying that in February of last year, Karen and I went, and my brothers, we went to Sarasota. We spent a week there. And we went out to Lido Park, and we were fishing out there, which is a good time. If you ever want to go fishing in a good place, that's a good place to fish. Anyway, I caught a Spanish mackerel, and it worked it in there to the shore, and it was one of those fish that are really feisty, as Avery would say, a feisty one. And so I got that fish in, and I knew that I needed to be aware. Spanish mackerel have a lot of teeth, and they're very sharp. And so I was in the haste of trying to unhook it. The thing wiggled and slashed my thumb. And so it was bleeding, and I couldn't get it to stop. So I needed a Band-Aid or something to put on. It was a mess. And it wasn't deep. It was just that a bunch of his teeth caught, so it was about an inch wide and made a nasty mark there. And so I went out to our van where I knew we had a first aid kit, and I went and got the first aid kit. And this first aid kit, I believe, is at least 30 years old. It was something I had in a truck that I had driven previously that was in there. So I got a Band-Aid out, and well, they're all dried up, nothing to them. So there was some gauze there. I sat there at a picnic table there at the Grove, and I was trying to fix this thing up, and it was bleeding. I was trying to get stuff out of the first aid box, so I had to kind of hold it off to the side. And there was a lady, there was an elderly lady that had been out there when I caught the fish, and she saw what happened. And she walked by as I was sitting there trying to get something to put on this thing. And she said, "He got you, did it?" I said, "Well, yeah, obviously it did." But very observant. No. What impressed me was she went over to her car and she got some Band-Aids and she brought them over to me. And I was able to put them on. They stayed on the rest of the time we were fishing. My point being, she didn't owe me a thing. She owed me nothing. I was a stranger sitting there with blood running off of my thumb that she could have just ignored walking past. But she chose to be kind. You know what? It touched my heart. It touched me in a way that I had I had to reevaluate my own life. How many times have I walked past someone who was in need of a kind act and I didn't do it? That was where my thoughts went. And so looking at coming into the new year and looking at what are the things that I want to grow in? And this will be my word for the new year is kindness. 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 I wish we as a church could adopt that. That this year we will walk into 2022 adopting kindness. That we will be kind to each other. Be kind to the world around us. We live in a world that is in a desperate need of kindness. Amen? There's kindness that is needed. There's not one of us sitting here this morning that doesn't desire to have an act of kindness or a kind word spoken to us. We all want it. So if we want it, are we willing to give it? Are we willing to take that position? Or do we just appear kind? So I was, occasionally when we have a light breakfast, we'll sit on our recliners and eat our snack bar or fruit or whatever it is. And yesterday morning was one of those mornings, and Louis came and sat on Carrot's lap. And so Louis sitting there, and Louis is kind of that way. He has the appearance of kindness. Do you ever notice like a dog, when they're happy, when they're kind, their whole back end's going and the tail and everything. A cat, they do the same thing. They flick their tail, but you better watch out. It's different. You know, and so he's okay. He's okay laying there. But as soon as you touch him, then he flies around with his teeth, okay? So he has the appearance of kindness, but when you touch him, he just lets it loose. And I wonder how many of us this morning are a little bit that way. We appear kind, but when it becomes personal, when somebody touches us personally, then we fly around with teeth. The tail starts. And I know I could quit there. But we're not. We're going to go on. You can turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look here at what Paul's attitude was towards having been born again, having received Christ as his Savior. And I think this should be our goal as we look at the goal, the look at the life of Paul and what he shared here. And you'll find throughout the Gospels that Paul recognizes that all that he was, counted as nothing when he learned to know Christ. And this is my desire for us this morning, that we will have a heart and a passion and a burning to know Christ, to know him, to go after him, to want all that he is, to want and to be all that he is. That's my heart's desire for our church this morning, for myself personally, to get a hold of what it means to know Christ. And not just saying it from the mouth, but living it. Paul said all the things that he did, and let's read it. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll get through to verse 16. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write to the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in what? The flesh. The flesh, having no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. And he says this, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So we look at verse 7 there, and he says, those things that he counted as gain, he now counts as loss for Christ. And I'm just challenging again this morning to go after Christ with all your heart, with all your being, not relying on your flesh. Because the flesh will mislead you. All the things that you can do, all the things that you can possibly think of, good things, become nothing to your righteousness within Christ. Amen? You are righteous in Christ and in Him alone. That's what Paul's saying. And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain another barn, another car, another house. No, that I might gain Christ, that I might gain Christ. So as you look back on 2021, what was it that you gained? If you look at your gain, as you evaluate, as many businessmen are right now, as anybody who is looking at the coming year, looking back and saying, okay, what was good, what wasn't? The same way, we need to take spiritual inventory of our lives and look back and say, what was good, what wasn't? And then we move on. And then we move on. And we count it as loss to know Christ. And he goes on, he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Is there anything me related in that verse? That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Going on in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And that is that our minds are set on the goal. Our minds are set on what Christ has for us. Our minds are set on the finished work, the finished cross that brings you to the final goal, and that is heaven. So I ask you this morning, as you look into the future, as you look into 2022, is your mindset on the goal? And if it is, it needs to become off of the flesh and resting in Jesus, trusting in him, walking in him, being led by him. That doesn't mean that you don't do the things that you have been called to do through Scripture. Our righteousness is not in these things. Our righteousness is in our relationship with Jesus. But we do the things because God asks us to. And the Word does. Calls us to. There is something about that call to press toward the mark that captures the vision of ancient Olympic race course 5 centuries before Christ. Paul uses the language of the athlete field of competition, exhorting us to press forward while calling us to forget the things which are behind and our past fears, our past focus, our past failures, forgetting what is behind, pressing toward the goal. Pressing toward the goal. And I ask you this morning, are you pressing toward the goal? Don't give up. Don't give up. We are called to run the race and continue to the end. Paul said, I have not yet attained, even though that That's what I'm looking for. That's where I'm going for. That's my goal. I haven't got there yet. We're not there yet. We are born again believers in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are born again believers in Jesus Christ. And we can experience the fullness of life here on this earth that God has given through his son Jesus. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're still here. We still get sick. These bodies still get old. Finances don't hold out. We're still here. We're still in this world. And I'm calling you this morning to continue on and to press on toward that goal. Matthew Henry says this about Philippians 3, verses 12 through 21. Eternal life is the gift of God, but it is in Christ Jesus. Through his hand it must come to us, as it is procured for us by him. There is no getting to heaven as our home, but by Christ as our way. True believers in seeking this assurance as well as to glorify him will seek more nearly to resemble his sufferings and death by dying to sin and being crucified, by crucifying the flesh with its affections and lusts. Is your desire this morning for your flesh to become more Christ-like? Is your desire for your flesh to become more Christ-like? Your righteousness is in Jesus Christ. Your flesh needs refining. It needs refining. It needs work. And it only comes through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It only comes. And as I look at going forward, as I look at the future, as I look at thinking about what's out there. What's out there for my family? What's out there for me? What's out there for the church? We don't know. We don't know. But Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Not the things that have captured our minds and kept us captive by, things aren't going the way I want them to go. I'm just upset. You know why you're upset? You choose to be. There is nobody that can make you be upset. Nobody. It's a choice. It's a choice we make. Proverbs 3:5, and I won't read the whole scripture, but one of the verse 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. He will direct your path. But what does it call for? It calls for acknowledging him and his ways, trusting him, leaning on him. It is him that will direct our paths. He will make that path for you into the future. He will make that path. You can turn with me to Ephesians 4, just a couple pages back. Ephesians 4, and I'm going to start reading at verse 25. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32, and then the first two verses of chapter 5. And I'm getting back into, in the world where you can be anything, be kind. Be kind. As we look into the future, as you evaluate the past, as we look back, as we evaluate the things that happened in 2021, probably without a shadow of a doubt, there are all of us sitting here this morning recognize that there have been things that we have done and that we have said that were unkind. Recognize it, move forward. Recognize it, move forward. All of us sitting here this morning, probably at one time or another, have had someone speak something unkind to us in 2021. I'm appalled at social media and some of the things, some of the bullies, some of the bullying and the just unkind words that are shared text, emails, Facebook, Snapchat. You can just name anything you want to. I'm appalled, and I'm sorry this morning to those of you that have been bullied and abused by people on social media. I'm sorry for that this morning. It's not right. It's not Christ-like. And we'll read this scripture, starting in verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are what? We are members one of another. We're members one of another. And it is on that basis that we should interact with each other. We are all part of Christ. Would you say the same things to Christ that you will openly say or say on media or openly say, speaking unkindly to your brothers and sisters? Would you say the same thing to Jesus that you're willing to say to the person that's sitting beside you? We're members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to myself. No, the hearer. Speaking kind words that it might impart grace to the hearer. Are we doing that? And then it goes on in verse 30. This is what really caught my attention again. I've read this verse often, and I know you have as well. And it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How is it that we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? It says it here, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And what? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And it occurred to me that if I am not being kind, I am actually grieving the Holy Spirit, because it is the nature of Christ to be kind. That's the nature of Christ. When you are seeking, when you're going after, when you're going after what Christ has for you, when you go after him, when you seek him. And I'm just going to share some thoughts from A.W. Tozer said this. There was a book that A.W. Tozer wrote that was called Following Hard After God. And in this book, the book was titled The Pursuit of God. The chapter in this book was called Following Hard After God, going hard after the Holy God. And after Tozer goes through showing how that Moses and David and Paul and all the great hymn writers were even thirsting after more of God, he writes this. How tragic, and I quote, that we in this day have had our seeking done for us by our teachers. Everything is made to center upon the initial act of accepting Christ. And we are not expected thereafter to crave any further revelation of God to our souls. We have been snared in the coils of spurious logic, which insists that if we have found him, we need no more seek him. This is to set before us at the last word in orthodoxy. And it is taken for granted that no Bible-taught Christian ever believed otherwise. In other words, all Bible-taught Christians in the past believed that you continue to seek Christ, to seek more of him, to be more like him. Thus, the whole testimony of the worshiping, seeking, singing church on that subject is crisply set aside. The experiential heart theology of a grand army of fragrant saints is rejected in favor of a smug interpretation of Scripture, which would certainly have sounded strange to Augustine, Rutherford, and Bernard. End quote. What has happened? It's not done the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to seek to be more and more of him. To be more like him. And listen as it goes on in verse five, in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, why? What? Therefore what? We're to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And that word imitators caught me again as I read that scripture. Imitators. And I ask you this morning, are you an imitator of Christ? Are you an imitator of God? And if you don't know him, if you don't know the scriptures, if you don't know him personally, how can you be an imitator of him? If we aren't willing to yield to the Spirit of Christ in us to bring us to new revelation of him, to bring us to a new place of crucifying the flesh on his behalf, then we are not imitators of Christ. Because this is the characteristic of Christ. He is kind. He is tenderhearted. He is forgiving. And verse 2 of chapter 5 says this, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And we have problem. We were the most offended. If there was anybody that ever made an offense against somebody, it was you against God. It was me against God. If there was ever anyone that offended someone to the extent where it would almost be impossible to forgive them, it's my sin against God that when he gave his son Jesus to die for me, that I would reject that. That is sin. It's a sin against God. But you know what he did? I got down on my knees and I said, I am bad and I need you. And he said, I forgive you. And he has done the same thing for you this morning. Is it so hard? Is it so hard to do that for our brothers and sisters? Is it so hard to do that for our spouses? Is it so hard to do that for the family of God, for the family itself, for husbands, wives, for children? Is it so hard to do that? God did it for you. He did it for me. And I believe that he wants us to do it for each other. Matthew Henry says this, wherever there is true grace, there is a desire for more grace. Wherever there is true grace, there is a desire for more grace. Kindness. So who are we supposed to be kind to? We are supposed to be kind to everyone. Our spouses. We are supposed to be kind to our brothers. We are supposed to be kind to our sisters. We are supposed to be kind to the people we work with. We are supposed to be kind to our brothers and sisters in the Lord that the Bible talks about doing good, especially to the household of faith. We are supposed to be kind to widows and orphans. We are supposed to be kind. Mothers are supposed to be kind to their children, Proverbs 31:6. We're supposed to be kind to the poor, Proverbs 19:17. We are supposed to be kind to our enemies, Luke 6:35. We are to be kind to our enemies. When we have opportunity to choose kindness. The Bible says in Romans 12:15 that we are supposed to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. We're supposed to be kind to those that rejoice. We're supposed to be kind to those that weep. Everyone. There is no one that deserves, as a human being, to be treated unkind. You will not find Christ doing it. I looked at the scriptures and I said, is there anywhere recorded where Christ, where he treated someone unkindly? And I know all your minds went right away to the Pharisees where he called them a whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones, that kind of thing. And I observed that. That was to a group of people. That was to a group of people. I don't recall anywhere, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't recall anywhere in Scripture where Jesus spoke unkind words to somebody who deserved it. So how's that Christ-like? How's that Christ-like? We're supposed to be imitators of Christ. We're supposed to do what he did. Here's a quote, and it didn't really have it didn't say where it came from. But it says this: to be kind is more important than to be right. Many times what people need is not a brilliant mind that speaks, but a special heart that listens. Many times they don't need your brilliant mind. They just need your heart to listen. That's being kind. That's being kind. Going into 2022, let us be imitators of God. Let us choose to be Christ-like. Let us choose to honor him, to glorify him. And the only way we can do that is if we forget what is behind and we move forward. We move forward. We go from here. We go from here. I know that 2021 was almost as tough a year probably as 22 or 20. Just there was a lot of things went on. Forgetting what is behind, press forward. But we learn from it. So it's, again, I say it's almost contradictory. I say look back, but I say don't look back. So what do you really want me to do? This is the question. Press towards the goal. Press towards it. It's coming. The day is coming. And maybe this is a year. Maybe this is a year that the clouds will split and we'll see our King Jesus stand on the earth and call an end to all of it. That sends chills up and down my spine. I can't wait. I can't wait. And if you're here this morning and you don't have the confidence that when Jesus splits the clouds and it's all over, and it's all over, do you know that you will stand with the redeemed at the right hand of God? Do you know this morning without a shadow of a doubt, is there any question in your mind this morning that where you will stand? Will you stand with the goats or will you stand with the sheep? I'm not trying to separate here. Will you stand with the goats or will you stand with the sheep? Do you know this morning without a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing more important on this earth than to know Jesus, than to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death? If you're here this morning and you don't know, you're not sure, today's the day. Don't wait. Don't walk out the doors. There are many people who have died in the last year. A lot of people died last year. Is this your year? Let's stand together. If you could prepare a song, Dave. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you are ready to go? Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to look into your word. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures that are written, Lord, in such a way that we can learn and that we can grow from. God, I thank you this morning that we have opportunity to be called your children. And today, Lord, for each one that is here in this room that has accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that you would just put a hand of affirmation on their shoulder. Affirm them, Lord. And if there are those that have not, Lord, I pray that they not be condemned, but that they be drawn to you. And that there is nothing else to live for but to live for you, Lord. And that today is an opportunity to open our hearts, Lord, if there is someone here today who has not received you, who has not bowed down to you, Lord, I pray that you would speak. God, we listen, we wait, and we want to hear from you today. God, recognizing that we don't know what the future holds, but we know that you hold the future and you have a perfect plan. And your heart's desire is, Lord, that everyone would be saved. Father, help us to see that. Help us to see that in our daily walk and how we demonstrate, how we imitate you. So, Father, I pray that you would come, that you would speak to us, that you would minister to us right now in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave, if you'll come and lead us.